Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is April the 27th, or the first day of Zith, 2027. This is a new moon Sabbath. We're going to start our first service on this new moon with a song. And
King of my life, I crown thee now, and shall the glory be. Lest thou forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest thou forget Gethsemane, lest thou forget thine agony, lest I forget God's love for thee, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly hard and red. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee while thou slept. Lest thou forget Gethsemane, lest thou forget thine agony, lest thou forget the love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing yet to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Which is found in 2 Timely Greetings, number 8, by the V.T. Hollett, entitled Revival and Reformation Precedes the Great and Dreadful Day of the Yeshua. It says, our subject is found partly in Daniel 2, Matthew 4, Jeremiah 51, and Micah 5, Malachi 4, but mainly in Joel chapter 2 and 3. We shall first turn to Malachi. Verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto their children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Here we have the promise that the Yahweh is to send someone before the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua. And when he comes, whether he accomplishes anything else, he is to turn the hearts of the fathers unto their children, and the hearts of the children unto their fathers. Now it appears somewhat puzzling that the hearts either of the fathers or of the children need to be turned toward the other. But if we consider that the work of the Elijah is not of a domestic nature, but is spiritual, then we shall see that the Elijah's message is to intensify in the heart of the parent as well as in the hearts of the children a burden for the salvation of the other. For the parents are very anxious to labor with the other people's children, but seldom with their own. And likewise, children are anxious to preach unto others, but not so anxious to preach unto their own parents. For the Elijah's message of the revival and reformation, however, will place the burden of the saving soul primarily where it belongs. His message will be seen to be of the real importance rather than a theory, and then it follows fully realize that the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua is at the door. But they will be seen pleading first for those who are nearest their hearts. Okay, Daniel's prophecy now of 244. And in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It is understood by most of the Bible students that this great image of the Daniel 2 represents the kingdoms from the Daniel's time down unto the end. Here you see that the stone that is cut out without the hand smites the image in the feet, and the stone fills the whole earth. In the days of these kings, our time, declares inspiration, Yahweh will set up the kingdom that is represented by the stone, and it will smite the nations and thereby bring their end. What could that day be but great for the Yahweh's people and dreadful for the nation? Indeed, it is to be the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua. Daniel 2:45. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without the hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Yahweh hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. For the Daniel's account of the day is very brief. Really, the Jeremiah describes the day of in the detail. Jeremiah 51:21-23. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid, and will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of the oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Here, inspiration explains that the Yahweh with his kingdom is for the breaking of the nations, that his people are to be his battle-axe. Both the Daniel and Jeremiah are definite that the kingdom is for the bringing of the kingdoms of the world unto an end. Micah 5:7, and the remnant of the Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as the dew from the Yashir, and as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for a man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. For the remnant of Jacob, those who are left after the tares are taken out, when once set up as a kingdom, is to be as the showers of the blessing unto those who seek salvation, and as a lion that tears in pieces those who continue in their sin, the day shall be great to the one people. So he goes on, and dreadful for the other. Now we turn to the chapters of Joel's prophecy that meet their fulfillment in the latter days, Joel 2:1-3. Blow ye the trumpet in the Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble for the day of the that shall come, for it is nigh at hand, a day of the darkness and of the gloominess, a day of the clouds and of the thick darkness, as the morning spread up on the mountains, a great people, and a strong that hath not been ever. The like neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Here you see that a message is to be proclaimed to the church, and to Zion, declaring that the great and dreadful day of the Assyria at hand. That it is to be devastating behind his people, and glorious ahead of them. That the Assyria is thoroughly to comb the field, that he is to gather every grain of the wheat and then burn the tares. Joel 2:4-6. For the appearance of them is as the appearance of the horses, and as horsemen so shall they run, like the noise of the chariots on the tops of the mountain, shall they leap like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people sit in the battle array before their face. The people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. We see that the power that attended the ancient Israel while they were taking the promised land shall also attend the servants of Yahweh at the gathering time. Joel 2:7-8. They shall run like the mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of the war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Nothing shall be able to hold down the people of Yahweh. Every one shall perfectly attend unto his business, for they shall gather the fruits of the earth, and nothing shall hurt them. For the spirit of the prophecy testifies, as the saints left the cities and villages, they were pursued by the wicked, who sought to slay them. But the swords that were raised to kill Yahweh's people broke and fell as powerful as a star. Early writings 284-285. I really don't see where that fits in here. Ellen G. White talking about the saints leaving the cities right in the middle of this Joel 2:7-8 prophecy of the greatest army there's been since the beginning, taking and subduing all nations, and then throwing that part in there where the saints fled the cities with the wicked after them. It don't fit, but this, she, Vicki Holler put it there. Joel 2:9. For they shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the wall, they shall climb up on the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. For the servants of Yahweh shall certainly gather all their brethren out of all nations, Isaiah 66:1. Indeed, so, for the legs of the gospel are the legs of the people who proclaim it, only with the perfect coordination and a bulletproof army can the gospel work be finished when the two-horned beast declares that as many as would not worship the image of the beast, and I might add, and partake of the mark of the beast, and should be killed. Revelation 13:15. Joel 2:10-11. For the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Yahshua shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executed his word, for the day of the Yahshua is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Having announced how great and dreadful the day is to be, the Yahshua is making this plea, Joel 2:12-14. Therefore also now saith Yahshua, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with the fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto Yahshua, your Redeemer, for he is a gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of the great kindness, and repent him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto Yahshua your King. Yahweh's plea is that we prepare for the meeting of the day, that now as sincere believers, apostolics, who realize that for such an hour as this, as this message of the mercy come unto earth, we potentially return unto him. Joel 2:15-16. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Lift the bridegroom and go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. In these verses, as in the Joel 2:1, the command is given to blow the trumpet in the Zion. This second trumpet, however, is not to for the announcing of the day of Yahweh, but for the sanctifying both of a fast and the people, for the calling of a solemn assembly, that not one is to be excluded, and that not one from the assembly. Joel 2:17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Yahshua, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahshua, and give not thine heritage unto reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their Yahweh? Here we are plainly told that the Yahweh's people are to face persecution and distress, and that unless they keep close unto the Yahshua, their very existence may be at stake, for Yahweh's name dishonored, and the heathen allowed to rule over them and to challenge their faith in the Yahweh. Joel 2:18-19, then will Yahshua be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, Yahshua will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Yahweh finds refuge and freedom for them in their own land where nothing shall be lacking. Joel 2:21-23. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for Yahshua will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahshua your Redeemer, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, the first mouth. That means the fulfillment, understanding the fulfillment of the prophecy for these last days. That's found mostly primarily in the Daniel, Revelation, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah, Malachi. So come down the first month. For it is plain enough to see that the Yahweh is speaking unto his people who are to receive both the former and the latter rain in the first month. And we did that down at Kermit Passover. We had the falling of the former and the latter rain in the first month. I received that message first from heaven. And that was a message that was given to the 10 virgins. The 5 wise and the 5 foolish. 5 wise took the extra oil and understood what the message of the form of the letter rain was, and the foolish did not. Joel 2:24, and the floor shall be full of the wheat, and the fat shall overflow with the wine and oil. For the inspiration is not speaking of the spiritual things only, but of the material things as well. For the rain, newly revealed truth, shall therefore produce a great harvest of the soul, as well as an abundance of the provisions. Joel 2:25-32. It says that, and I will restore, I like that word restore, unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Asher, your Redeemer, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Yahshua, your King and Redeemer, and none else, and that my people shall never be ashamed, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, the young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and up on the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, the blood and fire and pillars of the smoke, for the sun shall be turned turned into darkness, and the moon into the blood. Wherefore the great and terrible day of the Yahshua come, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion, and I might add at the 12th hour, or in the 12th hour, and in Yahrushalayim, that's in the land of Israel, shall be deliverance. As Yahshua has said, and in the remnant whom Yahshua shall call. And who's that remnant? The 144,000. Here we see that those who call on the name of the Yahshua after the latter rain falls shall find the deliverance on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. Also in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. For the very first word of the next chapter shows that the prophecy of chapter 2 continues through chapter 3. Joel 3:1-2, for behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of the Judah and Jerusalem, I will arise. I will also gather all of the nations and shall bring them down into the valley of the Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel when whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. These verses explain why, how, and when the Yahweh's people are delivered in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. These things you see are to take place. Even when he brings again the captivity of the Judah and Jerusalem, then shall he bring all the nations into the valley of the Jehoshaphat and there plead for all of his captive people whom the nations have scattered throughout the world. Joel 2:3. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. Verse 3 reveals that the vile practice of the world, Joel 3:4-7, yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of the Palestine, will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. For the children also of the Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. Tyre and Zidon, and the coast of Palestine, then those nations which have scattered Yahweh's people shall have their reward. What shall their recompense be? Here is the answer. Joel 3:8-10. And I will tear your sons and your daughters, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of the Judah, and they shall sell them unto the Sabaeans, unto a people far off, for the Yahshua has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Right there it is. Wake up the mighty man, and let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares and the swords and your and your swords and your pruning hooks and the spears, let the weak say, I am strong. Inasmuch as the nations and the preparing for war, when these prophecies are being fulfilled, it is plain to see that the atomic weapons will not bring peace. Joel 3:11. Assemble yourselves and count all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about, thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Yahshua. Here we are told that Yahweh's mighty ones are to meet the armies of the heathen. And where will Yahweh judge the people, or where will Yahshua, the Son, that's already here, leading his great army in Joel chapter 2, and where will Yahshua judge the people? For the following verses give the answer. Joel 3:12-14. Let the heathen be wakened and come up unto the valley of the Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about, put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and get you down, for the press is full, for the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of the decision, for the day of Yahshua is nearer in the valley of decision. Yes, here is described the day of the decision, for the multitudes will then have to decide either for the servant of the Yahweh and for the living, or for the continuing with the servant of the devil and perish with him. It says in Joel 3:15-16, for the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, for Yahshua also shall rear out of the Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heaviness and the earth shall shake, and that Yahshua will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. What a day. The world is now approaching, and how blind to the fact is even the church herself. Joel 3:17-21. So shall you know that I am Yahshua, your Savior, dwelling in Zion. Now, Zion, the 12th hour, and the Elgin, Texas, even. My holy mountain. So Yahweh's purified church, wherever it may be, the one that Yahshua has personally with his own hands set it up, it's called the holy mountain. It's Yahshua's holy mountain. That's what he says here, my holy mountain. Then shall Yahrusim be holy, and there shall be no stranger pass through her anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down with the new wine, and the hills shall flow with the milk, and all the rivers of the Judah shall flow with the waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of Yahshua, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. For the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land, that the Judah shall dwell forever. That's the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10. That's the house, that's the kingdom of David, that's the tribe of Judah, that's the tribe that Yahshua and David came through, and of, and Jerusalem from the generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahshua dwelleth in Zion. Our final cleansing is to be in our own land. For the scriptures you see are corrected, are correlated. One truth explains another. Verses and chapters, therefore, cannot be isolated from their context if they are to be rightly understood. For a correct idea cannot be built upon any one verse when isolated from its continuity. And only when we take Yahweh at His word can we, in the truth, study the Scriptures. Then we need but the key word to unlock the mysteries of the Yahweh, and here we have it. Revival and Reformation, a change of the ideas and practices, therefore is our greatest need. Without this, we are sure to be found among those who shall say to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:16 and 17. Well, that's the end of two times reading number 8.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His fallen forever. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Yahshua. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me death can tenderly dwell. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His solemn forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King and His Lord is light. Your lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown of His waiting in yonder bright mansion for me.